I will never see your faith. The only thing I can see is your obedience. And that is pretty much how the writer of Hebrews saw it. He wrote Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham obeyed. Belief gets me on the new rail. That's my new orientation. Obedience is rolling down the track. That's my obedience. New direction is possible only one way, and that is through confidence in the person of Jesus Christ. And the way the New Testament expresses it is this. It's the obedience of faith. It's not, I have faith and I obey. It is the obedience of faith. One kind of flows into the other. And in fact, this is why when a Christian does something, let's say you do something big. You know, you go down to Haiti to help out, or you go down and help out the Katrina work, or you take part in a, like Beth mentioned, the work day, you know, break your back, 6 hours of sweating and labor and all. And then people say, oh, thank you so much for all you did. And you know what you say? It was nothing. It's fine, nothing. Oh, no, it was a sacrifice, it was a commitment. Yeah, well, maybe, but, you know, for me, just an expression of my faith. All to say, obedience is not a heavy word. It's a light word. It's just my faith expressing itself. And so, from that base, we go forward. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that those who were unable to enter was because of unbelief. The writer in Hebrews 3 said they're the same thing. Unbelief, disobedience, how much clearer could that be? So, if you have faith, guess what's going to follow? It's going to be obedience. Now, our culture doesn't see it that way. Our culture talks about religious expression as I understand it. Well, to hell with religious expression as you understand it. How about religious expression as God understands it, happens to be obedience? Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. Well, obedience is it's faith, right? It really is. It's the obedience of faith. It's living by faith. All right, we're doing great. Let's do number three here. Our third side of the cube here is trust. Faith is also trust. I am in a relationship with God, and that relationship is personal. It's not conceptual. It's a personal relationship with a living God. Not all of your relationships involve trust. You all have extended family. You're related to them, and there's not always a lot of trust. Well, with God, there is. And God is absolutely demanding a relationship with him that is based in trust. Now, why? Why is it important to God that we have a personal relationship that's requiring us to trust in him? Answer's really simple. There is nothing under heaven that exists that can break your trust in yourself other than trust in him. Otherwise, I go back to my default, which is my superior judgment, my sovereign rights to see things the way I want to see them and to do what I want. And God says, that's not what we're going to be doing here. That's not the obedience of faith. It's going to be a trust relationship with me. God is calling me to trust. And you know, trust turns out to be difficult for two reasons. One is when things go very well. And secondly, when things don't go very well. In both times, we're tempted not to trust. For instance, Paul wrote, God chose what he chose so that no human may boast in the presence of God. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So when things go really well, it's not my accomplishment. It's not my achievement. It's praise God. Look what he permitted. Isn't that great? But then on the other hand, some days are pretty hard. And sometimes life gets pretty tough. Trust proclaims, quote, God is faithful, end of quote. I'm quoting the Apostle Paul. He said it after he received the prophecy that he was going to be in a boat that would sink. That's what you have to look forward to, Paul. You're going to go for a trip on a boat in chains, and it's going to sink. And he came back and he said, you know what? This is going to be hard. It's going to be taking a shot. But God is faithful. Let me go back to the dictionary for a moment for the word trust. Here's the definition. To remain or go somewhere or to do something without fear of the consequences. To remain or go somewhere or to do something without fear of the consequences. God saved me. He cares for me. He loves me. He will keep my word. That's why I believe and obey. Sounds like faith. And it sounds like faith because it is. God, I trust in you. My future is yours. How are we doing here? You got your three sides. You can see three sides at a time. We're not done. Well, let me just tell you where we're going to go here. Remember, I asked God to see if he might just point out a weak area. When I'm done in 10 minutes, I'm going to be asking you to share with one other person here what your weak area is and why. And then you can pray for one another. One and one, okay? So you're on the spot, okay? But we have four more areas for me to prod. So let me do that. Faith is also faithfulness. And I like this word faithfulness because faithfulness exists when I am up and faithfulness exists when I am down. Life is going to have plenty of ups and downs, and I will be bouncing around. But the faithfulness, I would like to think, is always going to be there. This is the one aspect of faith that is also a fruit of the Holy Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. Faith is faithfulness. It's dependable. It's like obedience. You can see this. You can see faithfulness. And like obedience, others can see it. Faithfulness understands stewardship and trustworthiness. 1 Peter 4:10. As each received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. That's just faith. Just being faithful. God's given me what he's given me, and I want to use it for him. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they should be found trustworthy. God says, when I see trustworthy, I know I've found trust. And when I see trust and trustworthiness, I know I found faith. And that's what God's looking for. And through faith, I become more and more like him, and he is faithful, even when I am not. This isn't real glamorous. Faithfulness is not attention-getting. It just happens, and God sees it from heaven, and it's an expression of our faith. Next up is hope. Hope is an expression of faith. This is my future orientation, an element of anticipation. Without hope, you're never going to have faith. Listen to Two short verses. Romans 13:11. Paul wrote, "Salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Can you pick up the anticipation there? Ah, yeah. Yeah. Getting closer. Galatians 5:5. "By faith we await the hope of righteousness." Faith is confident in this present mess because of something that's really nailed down in the future. You know, you can live your, you can go through life two different ways. One is the forward approach, which I'm not recommending, which is, you know, God was good to me. He saved me a while back. I had blessing, had answered a prayer, had another answered prayer. I'm doing okay now. So I'm on a roll, and I think when I get to the end, when it's time for me to die, you know, I think I'll have a track record that will prepare me for my death. That's one way to think of it. Don't go that way. Go the other way. Start from the, you see, I'm going this way, so let me go to your back. Let's start at the very end. The end is our blessed hope. It is secure. It is solid. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Hundreds of people saw it. It is a fact of history. He conquered the death. There is the resurrection of the dead. That is solid. Because that is solid, so is the present. I work backwards from that point. If you don't have that point, we're all rolling stones. We're all, you know, what is death? You know what death is for an unbeliever? It is, don't bring it up. I can't even think about that. It's absurd. It's like going nowhere. Or they just pathetically receive it, like, oh, oh. But God has told us, you know what is solid? The resurrection of the dead. The doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, you can count on that. I'm going to talk more about that in just a moment, but let me just do a little side on this. There is more to this life than this life. And that now is not only being affirmed by people who study the Bible, but people who study physics. Cosmologists have come to the conclusion that everything that we see or all around us is an effect. It was caused. And they call it the Big Bang. And what they say is there was a beginning. And that beginning had a cause. And the cause was not a what, but it was a who. Because somewhere along the line, someone had to choose to begin, if there was a beginning. So you could go up to a scientist and you could say, you know what, I'm anticipating death. And after death, I'm anticipating going to heaven. You know what he'll say to you? That's cool. Because we know there's something else. There is more than this. There is another realm. There is a something else that caused this. The scientist says, I don't know what that is, but I know it's there. And the believer says, well, the word of God tells me it's heaven in hell. Okay, so we're really on the same page with regard of there being something else. Having a hope, I am free to trust God today. The purpose of my life, like the source of my life, is not a random chance. I'm not just stuck in the present. Now, for me, okay, anxiety, it comes. What do you do with anxiety? You know, hope has everything to do with it. The Bible says, book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 9, refers to Jesus Christ as the anchor of my soul. He's already in heaven. He's the anchor. I'm the boat. The line between the boat and the anchor, that's my faith. And that brings great, great security and great, great peace, the great shalom of God that we talked about earlier. And I'll tell you, if anything is going to take the air out of the anxiety balloon, it's hope. God has already secured the future. Just have to rest in that. Hope is the faith that embraces everlasting life and welcomes the promises of God from a distance. Hope means that it's really solid, but everything here is not. Hebrews chapter 11. Not having received the things that are promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. That's Hebrews 11, 13. The people who were commended in Hebrews 13, they didn't have their act together here. I mean, listen to the language. Not having received the things that are promised. Strangers and aliens. You know, this is tough. Life is tough. But one thing I'm sure about, and that is the expectation that I have in the future. And by faith, the Holy Spirit helps me to see life as all present tense. And hope is why I'd like to think that, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to trust God right up until that point. Faith has a future orientation to it. That's hope. Belief, obedience, trust, faithfulness, one to go. Here's the last one that I thought of when I thought I was never going to think of anything. I thought of Jude verse 3, which says, contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And you know what Jude wrote? He could have called it the Bible, the gospel, the law, the truth. He's calling this deposit from God to planet Earth. He's calling it the faith. And contend for the faith. And I want my faith to be strong in content, which is the Word of God. There is a word out there that doesn't come up too much, but it's very, very current, the word fideism. You can use it when you play Scrabble. F-I-D-E-I-S-M. Fideism. It means faith in faith. Faith grounded in nothing, just faith in faith. What do you believe? It doesn't matter. I believe. Oh, that's great. No, that stinks. It's not faith in faith and faith is just faith. That's what I mean about flimsy faith that's all out there. No, it is faith. Contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And that's what God has given to us. And I want to know it. I want to live it. I want to love it. I want to spread it. I want to keep it. I want to contend for it. So when we're talking about faith, we're not talking about, growing, having a bigger faith. We're just talking about getting it right. I just want my life to live. And I realize that the orientation has to happen, the basic orientation. My actions matter. It's highly relational. It has a future expectation. How's your cube? Was Richard Niebuhr right? You only get a handle on half of it at a time. But I know that I expect that in this whole mix, there's got to be some neglected area. And if God by grace can point it out, hallelujah. But I would send you forth with one final word from Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. Abraham serves as a primary example of what it means to live by faith. With respect to the knowledge of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. May it be true. May God bless you all. And enjoy your life in faith. Amen.